Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, The Phenomenon of the 80s. On KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. Today we continue our discussion on karma. This time we're going to talk about karma and soul growth, lifting your awareness levels and becoming aware of this thing we have called the soul. So this should be a very interesting topic. You know, a lot of people walking around in life and society have no idea who they are, what they are, where they're going, what their purpose in life is. Did you know that so many people do not understand the relationship between the body, which is their, vital organs, their skeleton, their brain, their skin, their face, their eyes, their nose, their mouth, and the soul, which animates this body? In fact, a lot of people don't even believe a soul exists. It's very difficult to prove to them that there is something besides the body. I think the limitation that we feel and the finiteness that we feel has a lot to do with the fact that we do live in a body that has an end to it. There is an ending. This thing called death sometimes is not always the most happiest of topics to discuss because the soul does lose contact and break association eventually with the body. So that does kind of freak a lot of people out. But interesting part of today's topic is that we do find that as you live your life, okay, that things will happen to you, sometimes traumatic experiences, sometimes not so traumatic, sometimes blissful experiences, but things will happen in your life that will reveal to you the existence of this essence that we call soul essence that animates the body and allows us to be alive and have consciousness, have reason, and also to be creative in this dimension and beyond. But anyway, we do find that a lot of people live their lives in a pell-mell anarchistic fashion. A lot of people that do believe in either an atheistic or even an agnostic sort of point of view that disbelieve or is sort of like in a in a sense where they don't believe there's a God, they don't believe there's a soul, they don't believe there's an afterlife or a heaven or a hell, so they live their lives without thinking of consequences or karma, they live their lives without considering ultimatives or alternatives, and that is why I think a lot of times we have problems on this planet, throughout the history of this planet, because there are those people out there that either don't care or won't recognize their soul. And until they go through a period of tremendous pain and suffering, tremendous anxiety and sometimes traumatization, they still don't embrace or accept the existence of the soul. It's easy for me to accept the existence of the soul because I know who I am, I know what I am, I know my relationship to this body of Farley Malaris, and I also am aware of what I do at night when I sleep. But, you know, as a soul, I really go home when I sleep at night. I leave the body and overcome the realm of the third dimension and go into the higher realms to charge up and be my true conscious self. And then when I awaken, or if my body is woken up or something happens to bring me to consciousness, then once again, I animate the body. The soul is an interesting character because the soul has so much power and it has so many different dimensions and so many different levels of awareness that it is attached to the body, actually at the chakras, but in many different levels of consciousness, which means while you're sleeping, it doesn't mean your soul is totally gone from the body because something has to keep that being alive. But the conscious part of the soul, at least the part of us that allows us to be conscious in this dimension, the astral body is removed. It is gone. But still, before you are born, of course, you don't have a body yet. The body is created inside the womb. And I believe that the soul builds upon that body. In other words, at conception, I believe there is foundation for the soul. And there is a connection made between the body of the soul at the spark of life. So in case you wondered about that, in abortion philosophies, you know, whether there's a baby or a conscious entity there, I believe, yes, there is. As soon as the spark of life begins, and as soon as the cellular process begins, that the soul is then anchored. Of course, the sensitivity of the soul are the feelings, are the senses may not be adequate enough to feel pain or to feel anxiety, but believe it or not, there is a portion of the soul that is still anchored to this dimension at conception, and then the consciousness builds throughout the growth process of the baby in the womb. When the baby comes out of the womb, the umbilical cord is cut, the eyes open, and the digestive process starts, and the baby starts breathing, then the astral body is literally sucked in, that it finalizes the building of the soul onto the body of the child, which allows the body to finally have total dimension or total consciousness, total realization, and the multidimensional part of the soul is then gathered at birth, and the sleep-wake cycle begins, you know, because the baby has to charge not only through eating food and drinking water or milk or whatever, but the soul needs to leave that body and charge up while the baby is sleeping, you know, because frankly, that being in a human body, the astral body tires tremendously being in a human body, because the human body drags the astral body down and the human body becomes weakened and tired. So the astral body has to leave the human body to allow all our human bodies to charge up. And that's what sleeping is all about. So the sleep process, in my opinion, is proof that, number one, a soul does exist. Number two, there is a relationship between the soul and the body. And number three, that the sleep process allows the soul to charge so it can return to the body in full in the morning or when the body awakes and animate it, and therefore experience life in this dimension. Of course, at death, the soul finally leaves the body completely. It is a complete evacuation, and the entire soul charge is removed, and that's when the body grows cold, rigor mortis sets in. And, of course, some people believe metaphysically that the soul does not totally lose association or relationship with that body until about 3 or 4 days after death. So that's why some religions don't even bury their dead until after the body is allowed to set for a while, you know, because they believe there may be sensation there. So let that body air out for a while. But still, a lot of people do live their lives and they don't understand this relationship. And they don't want to accept it, don't want to believe in it. They listen to it, they think it's hogwash. And even if they do believe in God, oftentimes if you try to sit down and talk to them about the soul relationship, they don't want to hear it. But, you know, what happens, you know, in life, and especially when analyzing your astrological natures, you will find that there are certain areas in your life that are so stressful, that are so sensitive, that are so challenging, that you'll submerge yourself into a life experience of some kind and end up setting yourself up to be totally traumatized. Now, I'll give you an example of the high school or the college kids that will have a lot of stress, maybe in Pisces planets or 12th house planets. Maybe they'll have Uranus in the 6th house of health, the planet of accidents in the house of health, or any planet in the 6th house of surgery. Or perhaps they might have some planets in the house of death, where people, for some reason, set themselves up. Now, this is, see at all times, whether you know it or not, there is a higher part of your soul called the higher self that is doing what it can to make itself known to the conscious mind, okay? Throughout your life, there are situations that are being set up by that higher part of yourself that does not even exist in this realm, that is trying to set up experiences for you to become aware of your soul, which is kind of like getting up out of a pool or an ocean of water or a liquid of some kind and being aware that there's something above the surface. So, karmically speaking, you know, the part of your karma could be non-recognition of the soul. Did you know that? That's right. If you live past lives as an atheist or as an agnostic or in total abuse of human life in this dimension, then part of your karma may be to gain awareness through shock and trauma experiences. You know, we'll all note that many of us who have read the Shirley MacLaine books will note that she made a complete about-face. If you saw the movie or read the book that she wrote, out on a limb, that, you know, when she went through a heavy love affair and traumatized herself emotionally through that love affair, it was that shock that triggered a rebirth of awareness that lifted the veil and the wall that kept her from understanding the relationship that she had with her soul, her higher self, her astral body, God, and so on. Well, a lot of us are put through these same situations. People become criminals, they become murderers, they become thieves, they end up institutionalized in prison, and it's that type of shock trauma that allows them to meditate, to pray, to have solitude, and to give them time to think, which will allow them or help them lift the veil of vagueness and of closure, and open their minds up to the awareness that they do have a soul. Number one, when you do become aware of the soul, then you are allowed to grow within that soul and reach an evolution state where the awareness of the soul is increased. And the more aware you become of your soul, the more you are able to have a relationship with the multidimensional parts of that soul, like the astral body, the dream self, and the higher mind, okay? And that way you understand more about life and death and the universe and God and the structure and the metaphysical implications of karma and how life works. You know, the sacred knowledge of astrology is important because astrology is the system that is used between lifetimes to help set up the mechanical vibrations we absorb as babies that help dictate the karmic vehicle that our bodies absorb and our brain cells absorb as far as how we will live and manifest our life experiences and evolve hopefully from same. So, you know, I frankly think that life is simple, it's easy, because the mission of life for all people is to develop or establish a relationship with this spirit, you know, the spirit of God, which is represented by the soul, which is the God particle, okay, because a soul is a particle of the source of God. And so I believe the purpose in life is to discover this relationship, to embrace it, to enhance upon it, to become more aware of it, and therefore escape the limitations of closure and of separation and of individualization and of uniqueness that prevent us from reaching blissful states, which is what soul evolution offers. Because the more you are aware of your soul and your astral body and your God self and the mechanics of life and death and metaphysics and karma and astrology and all of that, it does make life easier to understand as to why we do go through this passion, pain, pleasure, ecstasy, and trauma cycle in life, understand why it does happen, because the higher self usually is trying to help us get through to higher parts of our mind. You know, the higher self is really strange. When I was younger, I went through some traumas. I put a stick through the roof of my mouth when I was a child in the car, scared the heck out of my mother. I caught a ricochet in my eye from a BB rifle, jumped off the roof once and almost died from that, and you know, went through a traumatic, just scandalous marriage situation, just a horrible period of self-destruction in my life from a poor element of peers and friends I associated with. And each of these situations offered factors and experiences that focused on trauma and on emotionalism and on pain. You know, I'm lucky. I'm really lucky that the hardest part of my life has been an emotional transformation where I've been forced to deal with how I feel. You know, a lot of people have to actually go through the physical torture of either being in a war, you know, God forbid, getting shot, getting beat up, raped, killed almost, you know, and, you know, heart disease, cancer, hospital visits, surgery. When I go to the hospital to visit people, it never fails how I can sense all this suffering that is going on. Well, I feel sometimes when people come back with 6th house planets or 12th house planets in their chart that are either opposed each other or square other planets, that their karma has reached such a critical state that they are being forced to experience physical pain like surgery karma, you know, because they have refused to do anything mentally physically, spiritually, or emotionally in past lives. In fact, oftentimes I do believe that the physical surgery karma is a result of being physical, negatively physical with other people in past lives, where your elements were like guns or knives or swords or, you know, warrior type karma, and instead of coming back and being spiritual, you still have the warrior nature inside of you. So, you know, like, I firmly believe that there are alternatives to experiencing physical pain, like meditation and like prayer and like affirmation and grounding and centering and calming oneself and healing oneself and nurturing oneself and detoxing the body. But then there are those people that don't pay any attention to the spiritual nature of the body and the power of healing the body offers, and their attitudes and their belief systems are so negative that this energy is compounded. It is saved by the chakra systems. It is held back. And then you end up having a sixth house planet like Uranus or Mars or Saturn or Venus or a 12th house planet. And then you end up in an accident or in the hospital or under the blade a few times until finally you are shocked into the realization that you do have a soul, that it does exist, and that you are in a situation of experiencing a higher awareness level where the veil is lifted. You know, it's very strange how many people now go to the hospital and have to actually undergo surgery. I heard a statistic the other day about bypass surgery, how something like 35% of all bypass surgery is unnecessary, and like 50% of people that have bypass surgery actually have a heart attack when they're in surgery. You know, and you know, I thought to myself, gosh, why would people put themselves through this if they studied the spirit just a little bit and got into some holistic ideals? They would come to grips with the fact that the body is a powerful healing element. And if treated properly, then, you know, there are people that have proven that the body can be detoxed and that the arteries can be cleared, like this guy Pritikin, I understand when he died, they did an autopsy on him. They did find his arteries were clear, even though he had arterial sclerosis during his life. Through his methods of lifestyle, he was able to clear out those arteries. And you know, so we do find there are alternatives to suffering the physical pain and trauma of either subjecting ourselves to physical abuse in society, or having to endure accidents or surgeries or other types of traumas. And that's why I'm so sensitive. I've dedicated my life to these spiritual alternatives. You know, but you know, the thing with karma is that when you do find out what your obsessions are, and when you do find out what your addictions are, and when you do find out where you are being selfish in your life, you'll notice that if you don't let go of these things that you're holding on to, like having your hand in the cookie jar with all the cookies in one hand, you can't pull it out, that what happens is that you actually hurt your body. You torture your physical system. The physical system, the body, is called the temple of the soul. It is a sacred ceremonial system that is to be nurtured and protected. But what we do is we aggravate ourselves. We find ourselves pumping nicotine and tar into our lungs through nervousness, tobacco, and also pumping marijuana and crack, and then pouring alcohol. You know, that's why they call it intoxication, because it's toxic, you know, pouring all this alcohol into our vital organs. And then whether you drink or smoke or take drugs or whatever, you know, the sugar is a drug and the salt is a drug and all these preservatives. And then besides that, all the stress that we implement on our bodies, the skin rashes we develop from the scratching and the itching, and the heart problems we create from being sad about ourselves and the world and the stomach and the digestive things. And you know, we internalize all this stress from worry, from feeling loss, our lack of love, our inadequacy, our loneliness, that is all karmic and is all totally deteriorating as far as soul growth and spiritual awareness. Because a lot of us, even though we pretend to be spiritual, we don't recognize or acknowledge this force, this power that exists within us, that dwells within us. You know, so the astrology chart reveals to us karmic karmically where our obsessions are, whether it's love or sex or money or property, real estate, power, empire, domination, control, manipulation, possessiveness, greediness, whatever. The chart will focus on these areas of obsession, addiction, and selfishness, and also reveal to us the ailments that we can have depending on what we are missing in our life as far as what we worry about. See, like, astrologically, the signs of the zodiac and every one of the planets adhere to a different part of the body, the temple of the soul. So if you have an afflicted sun in your chart or afflicted Leo planets, then you could compound stress and karma and also physical karma, you know, like medical problems to the heart, to the back, and to the spine from the sun and from Leo squares and oppositions. The moon are Cancer planets. Well, that rules the stomach or the breast area, see? So you could compound ulcers or breast problems there by having an afflicted moon or Cancer planets. Same with Mercury. Mercury is a heavy planet because afflicted Mercury in one's chart or afflicted Virgo or Gemini planets could affect the intestines, the large intestine, the small intestine, and also the lung systems, okay, which the intestine and the lungs are intimately connected. And then Venus is a heavy planet because that affects the thyroid gland. Venus or afflicted Taurus planets would affect the kidneys or the thyroid or anything in the throat. Right? Mars, our Aries planets, would affect anything in the head from the neck up, meaning the teeth, the nose, the eyes, the ears, the brain, the skull, the face, the chin, the cheeks. So afflicted Aries planets or Marses could show a karma with that part of the body. You know, like if you have you can compound stress as a child and have an afflicted Capricorn planet or Saturn or Mars planet or Aries and end up with a heavy acne problem on your face, which is what a lot of people with Capricorn planets have, because you internalize that stress so it comes out in a physical pain, which is the acne ordeal. See what I mean? And then Jupiter, which is afflicted Jupiter, afflicted Sagittarius planets, could compound stress on the liver, the hips, or the hip bones. Okay, and then Saturn, which is a big planet because that affects all the skin over the whole body, which is a big vital organ, and also the bones and the knees. So Capricorn planets are Saturn. Then Uranus or Aquarius planets, you can compound stress there, and that would affect the circulation, the ankles, okay, and also accidents, any kind of accidents in your life. Neptune is a biggie, or Pisces planets, because that affects the feet. And if you're into foot reflexology, you'll know the feet could be the key to health in the entire body. So afflicted Neptune or afflicted Pisces planets could be sensitive foot structure and overall poor health from that. And then finally, Pluto or afflicted Scorpio planets could affect your sexual organs, your genital region, and also your reproductive system there. So, you know, a lot of things that we see in the chart as far as squares and oppositions natally could interpret for us the health problems we might internalize by either not working out our karma. And, you know, when you absolve karma, when you finally pay the price and you atone yourself for karmic problems in your life and you finally decide it's over, it's done, it's finished, no more pain, no more suffering, you know what happens? You are able to let it go. You are finally able to let go of that main obsession in your life that has been making you miserable, you know, whether it's your pressure from your parents to succeed in a certain field in school, or whether it's pressure from your family for whatever in your childhood, whether it's just internal pressure you have because of goals and dreams you've set up, whether it's relationship frustration, sexual frustration, career frustration, or just overall fear of life, you know, and death and mortality, you can internalize all that stuff karmically and create all these physical distortions in the temple of your soul, your body. So, you know, it's very important that you work out your karma by letting it all go and once again embrace the priority of the spirit and the importance of the God cell that exists within you. And the main priority of the spirit of God basically is a spirit of love, unconditional love of self and others. It's being able to embrace the whole thing no matter what, without worrying about it, without dwelling on it, without being obsessed with it, or without letting it run your life, rule your life or hold you down. Okay? So this is a very, very important topic for a lot of you, especially if you have chronic problems health-wise, like I sometimes get, or if you have any kind of problems where you have repetitive surgery. A lot of people, you might say, what about these people that have cosmetic surgery? Well, that's a whole different kind of karma there when you have cosmetic surgery, because there's maybe a big question of self-esteem. You know, I believe people should love themselves no matter what they look like or no matter what other people might say about themselves. But some people are so perfectionist about their bodies that they have to go under the knife to make sure that it stays as perfect in their mind as it can be. But I wouldn't go through that myself. I don't like surgery in any form at all.